And for those that are joining us tonight, I preached a message this morning. It's hard to take and capsulize in 40 minutes what it took me 30 years to learn. A guy was going to buy a book, and he had his friend with him. He paid $80 for the book. And the guy looked at him and said, $80 for a book? He said, that's a lot of money. And the guy said, you don't understand. He said, that book is written by a billionaire. He said, and I'm going to learn in 5 hours what it took him 80 years to learn. And what I tried to do in the session this morning that we had, or this afternoon with the students, was try to talk about how vision shaped my life. I tried to take 30 years of what it had taken me to learn and condense it to 40 minutes, and I hope you got something out of it. The simple thing about vision is we talked about, for those that are here tonight in the church, vision is so crucial. And the reason God wants us to live by vision, it's his nature. The entire scripture is summed up into God speaks, God acts, God speaks again. And we talked about it's his nature. Then we went into the second area where vision is essential because God wants you to live by faith. You'll never fulfill vision completely in this life because once you do, you stop living by faith. So vision is progressive. You set a vision, you head there. You'll never reach it completely because once you do, you stop living by faith. So God gives us vision. And I'm just giving, some of you are taking notes, good. And then thirdly, vision sustains us when we go through a tough time. It's not enough just to talk about vision. I gave four examples of how vision comes. Vision comes, one, by a cause. You see a need, we talked about need. Secondly, vision comes through a challenge. David, Goliath, provoked him into vision. Vision can come through challenge. Thirdly, vision will come so often in our lives through a call. You know, I got an interesting email a few months back, and a guy told me he wanted to meet with me because I gave him a prophetic word when he was 19, and it was signed Francis Chan. So after having lunch with Francis Chan as a 19-year-old boy, he walked into a Chi Alpha meeting. I had no idea that night I was prophesying into Francis Chan's life, who later would write Crazy Love and a few other books that he has now put out there. You never know the call of God prophetically, the call of God through reading his word, the call of God speaking through a prophet, the call of God. And then lastly, connection. It's so important. You want to get around people that have vision if you want vision. Find somebody that is doing what you're dreaming of and go hang out with them. People have said to me often, your assemblies this or that. I said, yeah, well, Dave Reaver, Mario Morello, Denny Duran, those guys were all mentors that spoke into my life at crucial times to help me. And so that is so key to all of our lives. And what I wanted to do tonight is I want to talk about the call of God. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. The call of God. The call of God. So important. And like this afternoon's message, practical, I want to give you some things tonight that you can add. How many know it's been said you're born an original, don't die a copy? If you copy someone else's lifestyle, the best you'll ever be is number two. And why we want to keep failing at being someone else when we can be a wonderful success at being who God has called us to be. Paul said, when comparing yourself with one another and doing so, he said, you're not wise. One of the most dangerous things we do is to compare ourselves with other people. See, when you compare yourself with another person, you make them an idol in your life. They become a goal which you have made them your benchmark. You're comparing yourself to someone who has a different purpose, who has different gifts that accommodates the purpose which they've been called. Now, I believe God gives you everything you need for the purpose he's given you. And knowing this frees you from the need or the tendency to be jealous of other people. Because if God gave them what they need for what they do, then I don't need it. Somebody say, be yourself. We live in a world where people are constantly comparing. constantly comparing. We can't even come to the altar. Somebody might fall down. We didn't fall down. How come? We're the real people. You're over here. No matter how wonderful you are, you can't be good at being somebody else. Amen, brother. Preach it. Talked to a lady recently. She said, Donnie, she said, my husband's always compared me to his ex-wife. She's dead. She's dead. How can you even live up to that? No matter how wonderful you are, you can never be good at being somebody else. We need to surround ourselves with people that celebrate who we are. When you have that, you have a sense of fulfillment and you have support, you are at best being yourself. Understanding your gift's purpose sets you free from the need and temptation to weigh and measure yourself by someone that's running in a different lane. They're running a different, you're not even in the same lane. That has a different course, who has different skill sets, different purpose. If you could get this in your heart, you could get so healed, you could compliment other people, because so many people are so insecure, they can't compliment anyone because they feel like you doing well is taking something from them. Ooh, that's good preaching. Man. Somebody say, be yourself. A lot of us are scarred tonight because we have been compared to our siblings. If you make your goal in life to be like your brother or sister, you'll always fail because you're not them. What you want to be is the best you can be. To be who God created you to be, to function according to the skill set God has given you. Paul said it this way. He said, this is what he said. We should be the praise of his glory. He is not teaching us to praise God, although praising God is good. He said that your life is a praise. He didn't say that we should do praise. He said we should be praise. Your life is a praise. When you understand who you are and whose you are, you're comfortable in how you've been created to be. And your very presence is a praise. You need to shake off tonight every unfair, unhealthy comparison that has belittled you, that has intimidated you, that has violated you. It's time for you to celebrate who you are. Amen. Most people, they're unhappy with their own results, not because they're not doing their best, but because they aren't doing what someone else is doing. Getting rough in here. I'm telling you right now, I know when I hit a bump. I hit something. I got to stay with this. I was going to go somewhere else. I got to stay with this. So they forfeit what God has given them. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The word gain is not increase, but profit. It is profitable when you're content with who you are. Profit is what you have after the transition is over. That means when everything is said and done, you got to feel good about being you. Somebody say, be yourself. You need to get rid of all the comparison, shake off the guilt, stress, worry, and torment, and dare to be you. God had a purpose in mind when he made you, and he equipped you according to that purpose. God has given you everything you need for what he's called you to do. If you needed to be taller, he'd have made you taller. Amen, Brother Glenn. Amen. If he wanted you to have more hair, he would have. You are fully equipped and totally gifted with all it takes to become what he has called you to be. If he didn't give it to me, then I don't need it. I'm going somewhere with this tonight. I'm telling you right now, I am going somewhere. You need to hear this, because if he gave it to you and he didn't give it to me, that means I am not called to do that. I have in my warehouse, and so do you, everything you need that God has given you to accomplish what he wants you to do for his glory. And you need to do inventory. Inventory tells you what you got, but the stock of your personality, disposition, and character will give you some inclination of what God has called you to do. You have the personality profile for what you were created to do. Stop despising your personality. I'm going to try this side over. I said, some of you need to stop despising your personality. Stop despising how God created you and start studying how God created you so you can discover your calling. See, you don't decide your calling. You discover it. The call of God is within you. The call of God is within you. Everything God has made has significance. You are a walking reward for somebody. Somebody is going to celebrate you. Don't focus on your lack, your limitations. Don't focus on what you cannot do. Some of us, we've got an obsession with our weakness. We study our weakness. We buy books about our weakness. We talk about our weakness. We ask others what they think about our weakness. Well, Donnie, I come from a dysfunctional family. All our families are jacked up. Shoot, I just went back to Virginia to do my uncle's funeral. My cousin got mad. They cremated my uncle, had him in a urn. My cousin kidnapped him, stole him, because he's mad at his stepmom. Had Uncle Leonard in the trunk, driving out of town. We had to call the police so we could get Uncle Leonard so I could do the funeral. That's my relatives. Hillbillies up in the mountains. Come on, Kelly, you got something like that. You know, my one cousin, he didn't want to come to the funeral. I had to go to the bar. He's a bouncer in the bar. I had to go to the bar to get my cousin. This bar is so rough. They frisk you when you go in. If you don't have a weapon, they give you one. My cousin was walking around at the funeral. She had a tray with pills on them. Pills, drugs. She goes, "You want one, cousin?" I said, "No, I'm good. I'm fine." They were passing drugs out like they were complimentary mints. Don't look at me. Some of you just had Christmas. You had some nutty relatives at your house. Or you were over at their house. We want to talk about weaknesses. If you focus on God and his call in your life and you begin to pursue that, your weakness will melt like a snowball in a Stockton heat wave. You need to walk in the call of God. Someone said, "Donnie, everything you touch turns to gold." I said, "That's not true. I just don't touch many things." Now, I've learned to play to my strengths. A few years back when we were in the playoffs, we, of course, won. I've been the chaplain of the Oakland A's for 25 years, and we won the West last year. But a few years back when we were getting ready to go to Boston to play the Boston Red Sox, they asked me to come into the locker room, not the weight room, we have chapel, but come in the locker room with the team and do a motivation talk. So I'm in the weight room pacing back and forth, getting ready to go in and speak to the team. And I'm just thinking, and I'm a little nervous. And Joey Steelman, who traveled with me at the time, is now my pastor. But anyway, Joey is looking at me, and he looks at me and said, "You're a motivator. Go motivate them." I said, that's right, I'm a motivator. I'm going to go motivate them. So I go in the locker room, and I have a talk that I do called The Giant Killer, four things you need to kill a giant. And you guys, I'm ripping license plates, I'm breaking out of handcuffs, blowing up hot water bottles, throwing things, and just yelling, trying to get them fired up. We're playing the Boston Red Sox. They were supposed to kill us. And I'm trying to get the team fired up. So I said, you got to have a cause. And I talked about the cause. I talked about you got to have, if you're going to kill a giant, a proven experience. Go out there, men. Look at those flags in left and center field. We have won in the past. We can win again. And then, man, I got to my third point. We have weapons. Because if you're going to kill a giant, you got to have a weapon. And I said, we got Timmy Hudson on the hill. I looked around the room. Eric Chavez. I'm naming them. I said, we got weapons. And they're like, yeah. And you could see them. They're getting fired up. I got this huge, huge phone book. I'm walking back and forth with this phone book, and I'm holding it. And I get to my last point. I said, you got to have the killer instinct. And I said, we're going to cut that giant's head off tonight. And I took the phone book. I don't know. I got so fired up. I ripped it, and I went over there. And there are two doors that lead down the tunnel out into the field. And I walked over. Boom! And I kicked the doors open. They swung open. And I yelled down the tunnel, Boston Red Sox, here come the American West Oakland A's champions. And I just threw the phone book down the tunnel. Guys got up. They were excited. They ran down the tunnel out into the field. The manager walked over to me, Ken Maka. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm motivating them. He said, Donnie, the game's not for 5 hours. But they were down in the field, man. They're ready to go. I was speaking last year doing schools in the Bay Area, and I spoke, and I've asked now, and every time I go in and do public schools, I ask them, can I do the Christian school? I didn't used to in the past like doing Christian schools, but I love them now because I'm not going in there beating those kids up, man. I'm going there loving on them. I was just last week in Oregon, and we by the fourth day had so many kids from the Christian school not just get right with God, they started calling their friends. And on the fourth day, there were over 100 kids from the public school that cut school to come and hear me at the Christian school. It was crazy. I'd never seen anything like that in 30 years. And speaking to 7 million students, I have never seen kids cutting school to come to the Christian school to hear me. It was nuts. So I love doing Christian schools. And so I was doing this school in the Bay, and I was telling them a motivational story. And this is a true story, because when I spoke at Stagg High School several years ago in Stockton, California, there's a kid sitting in the audience, and I made the statement, whatever your mind can conceive, your heart believe, you can achieve. I made that statement, and really, people have said, whatever your mind can conceive, you can achieve. But I just took it, and I tweaked with it, and I came up with my own version. Whatever your mind can conceive, your heart believe, you can achieve. And so this kid sitting in the audience, he's 17 years old, and he writes down on a piece of paper, whatever your mind can conceive, your heart believe, you can achieve. He writes it down. 10 years later, on Mother's Day, I'm sitting behind home plate. The kid now is 27 years old, walks out to the bump, that's the mound, stands on the mound, throws a perfect game. 19th player in the history of Major League Baseball, 26 or 27 Rays up, 27 down. After the game, they're jumping on him, they're screaming, yelling. That kid walks up the stairs, walks over to me, and falls in my arms. And I said, not too bad for a kid from Stockton. And Dallas Braden looked up at me, and this is what he said. Whatever your mind can conceive, your heart believe you can achieve. Well, I told that school, I told that story in a Christian school. Well, they had a lot of foreign students there that were there. And this little kid named Arnold is sitting in the audience. He's on the basketball team, just came over from China. He's been here 3 months, speaks broken English, and he's on the basketball team. And so he hears my story, and he gets all worked up. And he writes down a piece of, whatever mind can conceive, heart believe, you can achieve. He writes it down. So he's all fired up. He puts it on Facebook. What are you looking at me? So I'm not making fun of Asian people. If I did a brother, I could do like inner city. You guys wouldn't get offended. I could be like talking about Darwin. I'm beeping you. No one gets offended. Asian people don't get upset with me. I'm just being honest. This kid, he was so precious. And he, whatever mind can conceive, hobby, he puts it on Facebook. He's all fired up. He's excited. He's telling the other guys on the team, Arnold, going to score 2 points tonight. That's all he wanted to do, was score 2 points. But he never plays. He sits on the bench. He puts it on Facebook. They're going to the game that night. He's sitting on the bus. And the guys are all sitting there. He goes, whatever mind can conceive, heart believe, you can achieve. Arnold's going to score 2 points tonight. I get up the next day to speak. And they said, before Donnie speaks, we have a special guest. Arnold, come up. Arnold comes walking up. I don't know what happened. Arnold gets the microphone. He's got these big, thick glasses. He's just a little guy. And he said, yesterday, when Donnie told the story, whatever mind can conceive, happily you can achieve. I wrote it on Facebook. I put it on a piece of paper. I told teammates, I get to game. We're winning by a large amount of points. Coach turns, Arnold, get in game. I run out. I'm going down the court. They pass me the ball. Now, students are starting to clap for Arnold. They're starting to clap. You could hear them in the audience starting to clap. Arnold goes, I get basket, ball in hand. I make move on opponent. He fall down. When he said that, he fall down. Students were like standing up going, you faked him out, Arnold. You broke his ankles. You know, and they're clapping. Arnold is so fired up. He goes, I look up, I see basket. Arnold shoots. Sweet! I score 2 points. And he goes and sits down. The whole school, standing ovation. It was. I'll never forget it. Oh, okay. My dad's half Cherokee Indian. I could tell some. I told you about my family being hillbillies. Don't get upset with me. I'm an equal opportunity. I said that recently. I was preaching somewhere. I said, if you can't give me a good Pentecostal amen, I'll take a good Baptist nod. Baptist guy got mad at me. Then I said, if you can't give me a good Pentecostal amen, I'll take a good Methodist cough. A Methodist got mad. I didn't mean to offend anyone. See, if you don't like being around people or talking to people, you don't like motivating people or challenging people, you're probably not going to be called into ministry or preaching. I enjoy what I'm doing. It comes natural to me. You know, I don't tire easily what I'm doing. I'll tell you why. People get tired faking it. Did he really say that? I said, people get tired faking it. I'm so tired of fake Christians. Dear God, I got a friend. I love him, but he's so holy. He's like, Donnie, did you ever read the story in the Bible where Jesus knelt down and he wrote in the sand? I said, yeah, I read that in John chapter 8. I know what he wrote. I said, nobody knows what he wrote. But my friend does. He knows. People have written sermons about what he wrote. Nobody knows what he wrote. He's one of those guys, God spoke to me. I said, if God speaks to you as much as you say he does, God would have a sore throat. He says, no, man, you need to, Donnie, you need to listen to me. I know what he wrote. Do you know what he wrote? And I said, listen, I have enough trouble just trying to obey the things I've read that I know he wrote without trying to come up. See, never judge yourself by your weakness. You know, too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are. See, when you're being yourself, you're able to enjoy life. Let me quickly, I'm not going to spend long. You guys have had announcements and music and all kinds of stuff. You guys are tired, and I'm not fasting, so I'm going to go eat afterwards, a big steak. No, I am. I'm going to go eat like a stuffed hog after. I'll tell you. Let me tell you what I'm going to eat. I'll tell you what I'm going to eat. Some of you, like, they're like, No, they're grouchy fasters. I'm fasting. I'm fasting. I'm spilling water. Okay, number one, if you're taking notes tonight, what do you love? What do you love? Point one, what do you love? It's a clue to what you're called to do. What makes you smile? What excites you? What energizes you? They're all clues to your calling. People, you know, I hate this, and especially when I first got saved. Missionaries would come and say, don't tell God that you don't want to go to Africa or he's going to make you go. Like God's looking for ways to antagonize you. You better not think you don't want to go in campus ministry. God's going to put you on a campus with atheists that hate you, and you're going to hate life. God's not looking for ways to antagonize you. Whatever you have a love for is a clue to something God has called you to do. If you love, you know, administration, then you love organizing. I mean, are you kidding me? Exhibit A, right here. Here you go. If you have the gift of administration, are you kidding me? She's so organized. I bet she's neat too. Is she neat? You know she is. I got you. I have a friend like that, Joey. We roomed together and we're on the road. I'd get up in the night and use the bathroom. I'd come back and my bed would be made. He was just. That dude's. If you're a gifted musician, you find your love in music. I mean, this gal that does work, she's like instant anointing. You know, she gets up here and it's in her. You don't have to like wonder what her gift is. My boy, I love my boy. He's 16 now, but he is so much fun to me. I love picking him up for school because we just laugh. My wife just goes to me, Donnie, you know, when he was in junior high, you act like a junior higher, and now he's in high school, and you, so I have to like fake yell at him. You know, like, do your homework. And Cindy's, that's the last, I'm taking your stuff. And anyway, he went out for Little League, and he was really good. And, like, they took him up to the majors, and he was, like, just really doing well. And I went to his game, and after the game, I said, DJ, I go, man, you stayed back on that ball. You hit it in the gap. He just looks at me. He goes, hey, Dad. He goes, want to hear me play Wipeout on my cup? I go, what? He goes, I can play Wipeout on my cup. I go, what? So I go, music ministry. Music. Can you say that in church? Am I okay? There's Kai Alpha night. Everybody's good. Everything's. I can't at this church. It was for sure that it came up and unplugged me. All right. So last year the Giants are coming to our place. And Father's Day's approaching. And I said, DJ, because he can really sing. I said, for Father's Day, I said, would you come to chapel and sing for both the Giants and the A's? And so what I do is one team is at batting practice. I do chapel for the visiting team. And then they go to batting practice. Then I do the A's last. And then after that, I speak to the umpires every Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. You hadn't preached until you preached the gospel to umpires with a guy sitting in his boxer smoking a cigar with your that's. You're talking about you on a college campus. You don't know what hostile crowd is. So I go into chapel and I'm looking at DJ and I go, hey D, I go, when you sing, I said, just, you know, it's in the weight room. I said, let it go. He goes, Dad, he goes, just look at me and I'll give you the signal. I go, what do you mean the signal? He goes, I'll nod. He goes, if I'm going to sing. I said, D, no problem. So anyway, we have Ricky Henderson is our roving instructor for base stealing. Perhaps, in my simple opinion, the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of baseball. And I love Ricky. We go back so many years, and I could do Ricky stories all night. Yeah, I love Ricky. So anyway, Ricky is there working with Jamal Weeks, our second baseman, on base stealing. So the guys are filing in the chapel. Now, of 25 guys on the roster, we have 20 guys coming every week to chapel. We have three coaches and the manager. And so we got quite an attendance there in Oakland. And, you know, the other guys on the other side, when they find out I'm going to roll up a frying pan or rip a phone book or tear a license, but they'll come in. So it's not uncommon to have, you know, when the Giants come in, almost the whole team was there also. So I'm not like the A's, although I'm the chaplain. I was pulling for the Giants too. I'm not one of those guys that, oh, I hate the Giants, right? Come on, please. I mean, I just pull, especially if they love God. I'm pulling for them. So anyway, the guys are filing in, and they're sitting on the floor, and I look over at my son, and I'm like, and he looks at me, and he goes, like, I got this. So I'm thinking, the old rugged cross, amazing grace. And so I said, guys, before I speak today, my boy's here, and he's gonna sing. And my son looks at me, and I look at him. I said, what do you got, D? And he goes, Dock of the Bay. And I said, Dock of the Bay? And Ricky Henderson goes, Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding, man, I like that. Sing Dock of the Bay, D. And my son, little thin white boy with soul. I mean, he just made his dad. He's like, sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes. And it's bouncing off the walls. And I look at Ricky Henderson, the greatest leadoff hitter in baseball with his eyes closed. I was like, man, he got Ricky. He got Ricky. But the thing is, if you love children, you want to be around them. See, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you what? The desires of your heart. What is sad is so many people devote their whole life to fields of endeavor that have nothing to do with the gifts and talents inside them. Many people actually spend their entire lives trying to change the way they were made. You know, I'll be speaking in schools, and I'll turn. I said, where are the seniors? Where are the seniors? And they'll wave at me. I said, seniors, I want to give you some advice. Find something in life that you love doing, and you love doing it so much you do it for free, but you do it so well you get paid for it. Find something in life that you love doing, and you love doing it so much you do it for free, but you do it so well, they pay you for it. The proof of love is the investment of time. Whatever you're willing to spend time on is a clue to something you value. Come on. What do you love? Secondly, what bothers you? Whatever bothers you is a sign of what you're called to fix. Your frustration may be your allocation. The place that God has allocated you to work may be hidden to things that bother you. There are things that don't bother other people, but they bother you. If you have the power to change the thing that bothers you, instead of talking about what they need to do, do what you see. The Bible tells us when Moses observed an Egyptian beating up an Israelite, his anger rose. It bothered him. Why? He was the deliverer of the Israelites. True, his reaction to the Egyptian was wrong, but it was a photograph of his passion. See, what are the things that bother you? What are the things that upset you? What are the things that you can't walk away from? The things that anger you? Tonight, when Jeff was sharing, some of you sat there and, man, something rose up in you. I don't know about you, but I'm saved. But there are times when I get angry. And I've learned to embrace anger, not run from it. My anger is a gift from God, placed in my body to protect my life. It energizes me for fight or flight. My anger is a gift. So God did not tell me not to be angry. He says, be ye angry and sin not. I need righteous indignation. It gives me fight. It gives me drive. It gives me tenacity. It helps me not to quit. It fuels me. It motivates me. I embrace it. I embrace it. I embrace it. Tell you what. I've been doing school 30 years. I've spoken to public schools. I've stood before over 7 million students, 25,000 in the last month. I crisscross mostly now in the West, but I've crisscrossed America. I've done a school assembly in every state but Alaska. College students, listen to me. On that college campus, when I walked out there and saw those young people drunk on the lawns, and I pick them up in my fraternity house after I got saved, I'd step across bodies that were passed out. I'd say, one of the guys in my fraternity house, he'd put a note on and said, Donnie, time you find me, I'll be passed out. Let me know if I hurt anybody. I can't tell you how many college students when I was on campus that I bailed out of jail. When a guy got out of hand at a fraternity house, they called me at night. One of our students was walking with God, and he fell away and got drunk. He started beating everybody up in the fraternity. I had to go over there that night. And I walked in the fraternity, and he looked at me, he screamed, and y'all started running to me. Thank God I'm strong. I picked him up and threw him through the sit. They had like a beach, you know, with a bar and like a fake backdrop with, I threw him right through the beach scene. And then he got up and came at me again, and I grabbed him. I got him on the ground, and he was drunk. He was beating his head against the ground. I said, Reiner, I love you, man. I love you. I remember him running to me one more time, and he just fell down. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't preach your gospel. He said, I can't live your gospel. God gave me a great revelation. And sometime I'll come and preach it to you about God's unconditional love. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to stop loving you, because there's nothing you did that caused God to start loving you. And I begin to understand in my life God's incredible love. And it changed me in so many ways, especially in the last 5 years, and just a deeper revelation. But I walked around campus at that time, Chi Alpha students, and it just, something rose up, and I wanted to fight for the innocents. I wanted to fight for those girls that were giving themselves away sexually. I wanted to fight for those guys that were getting drunk every night. And I thought nobody cared. I wanted to fight. And that's the thing, you know, I was in L.A. doing schools several years ago, and a girl walked by, and she had a T-shirt with a tequila bottle on it. It said, when you're thirsty enough, you'll drink anything. And I said, God, I'm so tired standing by and watching Hollywood pour up their perversion and their movies and everything else, and those kids just grab it and drink it. And we're in the church, and we have living water. I tell you, there's only one person in the desert worse than a murderer, and that's the person who knows where the water is, but they won't tell anybody. I'm a rare evangelist. I preach to lost people. Most of my audience, I learned to preach, and I'm quick on my feet because of open-air preaching. I preached on the college. Some of you have seen me, you know, go out there and break bricks and rip phone books. I've done it on the colleges for so many years. And then when God put me in the high schools, I was doing those once a month. And to all you college students that are here, I think in the last 2 years, I've done two things and for Chi Alpha, and both of them have just ripped me up, Glenn, the way you guys have honored me for starting Chi Alpha in 1982. It's just for Jeremy and Deborah here tonight. They had me down there at Stanislaus. I mean, I preached Warrior Day out there in the middle of that campus for 3,000 students. I did the first stage dive on a bunch of fraternity guys. They were pouring beer all over me, and I got up and gave an altar call in the midst of that madness. I just love that. It's like being with the lost, man. I just like being around lost people. I just, my heart. And when I started going into schools, I just wanted to reach out to that hurting one, that one that, you know, I used to do schools, and people think, yeah, Donnie, you're getting old now. I'm just up in Oregon, and a kid walked up to me, and he just said, I wish you were my dad. And I just, like I always say, I said, why? Because I don't have a dad. And if there's anything I've learned, is I've learned that when I go in a school assembly now, that I can stand up and tell them, but not even be corny. I just stand up and say, hey, for the next 35, 40 minutes, I want to be your father. And just a Modesto girl walked up to me, Kelly. She just goes, I'm 14. She goes, I've never met my dad. She goes, mister, could you hug me? I hear that every week. I just came from Tualatin, where a seventh grade boy came up to me and he said, please help me. My dad owns 3 strip clubs in the surrounding area. My mom just hung herself 2 weeks ago. I got to sit with that boy on those bleachers at junior high school and watch him come to the night meeting and walk forward. Are you kidding me? College students that are here tonight, adults that are here, listen to me. Something's got to bother you. Where's Terry at? Terry's leaving to Cambodia. We're taking a team. My sister comes. I wrap up my time, but I'm not finished. I promise you, she can play, but I'm not finished. You guys had all your time, all your stuff. I love you. You're awesome. Terry's going to Cambodia. While they're in the Super Bowl, Terry's going to be in Cambodia for 17 days. Brothel there where they chain little girls to beds. He's going to be rescuing them. Stand up, T. This is one of my team members, Big Terry. He's going to be in Cambodia for 17 days rescuing girls. One little girl was room 6, Terry, and now she's leading worship in the house. Leading worship. They get them out of that lifestyle, and they have homes there now. They're safe houses where they teach them to sew and cut hair, and they now have a bakery where the girls are learning to bake. That's close to my heart, but he's going. He's going to rescue some girls. Just like you guys have a team going during the Super Bowl. Isn't that awesome? My last point, you guys, listen to me. I don't know if it's child abuse, battered wives, drug addiction, alcoholism. Whatever stirs your passion for change is a signal in your life. Those angered by injustice often become lawyers. Those angered by disease often become doctors. Give attention to those things that unleash fury, anger, and a holy passion in you. Things that bother you. It's a clue to the call of God. Lastly, what moves you? That's where you're called to be and what you're called to do. What saddens you? What makes you weep? When you see something continually moves your heart, you want to get involved. Years ago, a mother saw a child laying dead on a pavement because of a drunk driver. She was so moved with compassion, she couldn't shake it off. She founded an organization called MAD. I've done a lot of stuff with them, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And sometimes we watch television, we see starving children. It moves us to weeping. It links us to their situation. It becomes something we can't forget. We want to do something about it. I've had so many reporters come up to me and, they'll say to me, you've been doing this 30 years, man. What makes you keep going and doing what you're doing? I could tell you stories. I think I'm going to write a book. I think I'm going to call it I Wish You Were My Dad. But just tell stories. LaShawn, a friend of mine, started a church, inner city Detroit, Highland Park. Across the streets, prostitute hotel, crack house on the corner, largest distributorship of pornographic material, and there sits the church. My kind of church. I go back every year, and I preach there in Detroit and do schools. A few years back, I went to this junior high, was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, inner city. I meet with the principal before the assembly. She comes out, beautiful African-American. She looked like Diana Ross. I'll never forget. She was lean, and she was just so pretty, and she just stood there, and she goes, we're so glad you're here today. And I said, I am honored to be here, ma'am. And I said, you ever sing for the Supremes? No, I didn't. I said, I said, could you tell me, a student in this school that is getting in the most trouble? She looked at me, she goes, oh, that's easy. She says, that's LaShawn. LaShawn is wild as a buck. LaShawn is he been slinging drugs since he was 9. His mama's a prostitute. His daddy is in prison. He lives with his grandma. She said, he's only in 6th grade, but he's a shot caller. She said, he does whatever. He steals. She goes, well, I'm going to have to kick him out of school. I said, you can't kick him out of school. She goes, I'm going to have to. And this is my custom. I said, get me LaShawn and 6 of his friends and bring them to me, would you please? She goes, why? I said, because when we set up, I said, I want them to be my setup team. So she comes and she gets these 6 kids, and LaShawn comes walking down. He's like, got his T-shirt down. He looks like Snoop Dogg Jr. He's just like, he's got his braids. He's, what's up? I go, LaShawn, I said, I'm Donnie. He goes, all right, all right. I said, LaShawn, come here for a minute. So I take him aside. I said, I want to talk to you. He goes, well, what? What do you want? I said, LaShawn, I said, I need you today, bro. I said, I need you. See, when I grew up in the East Bay, I grew up in a Hispanic and black neighborhood. And I don't say that for reference for you to be impressed with me, but I understand more. There's nothing worse than a white guy trying to act like he's black. I'm not talking about that. No, you know what I mean? It's stupid. It's crazy. Hey, brother. Anyway. So I go, LaShawn, I go, come here. Let me talk to you. I said, man, I hear that this school has got some crazy things going on. I hear people are stealing. Sean goes, yeah, they're stealing, man. People are stealing. It's him. I go, LaShawn, I said, man, I heard, brother. I said, I heard that people are dealing drugs. He goes, yeah, they're doing that too. It's him. And so I said, bro, I said, I need you today. I said, would you set up front? I said, I need you to cheer for me, man. I said, you're a leader. I said, and I look at this school, and it's going to be rough today. I need your help. He looked up at me and said, you got it? We did the assembly that day. LaShawn came to the night meeting. He got saved. They started a ministry there called Crib Connect. And I followed through the youth pastor, Sean, and Sean was bringing kids every week from the inner city there in Highland Park. You got to understand, if you've been in Detroit, what, you know, Highland Park, you know, the dropout rate there is over 80% in the high school. I've done a lot of schools, but I've never done a school where not one kid drives to school in the parking lot for the students, not one car. It's too poor. It's one of the most broken down, just dilapidated people. It's just given up. Anyway, I went back to Detroit, and they said, Don, will you do the schools? I said, if I can do LaShawn's, I'll come back. LaShawn's in eighth grade. I go back. The first person that greets me is the principal. She said, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. I said, what? She said, LaShawn. She said, for 3 months, he's been telling everybody Mr. Donnie's coming back. She said, Donnie, he wants to introduce you today. He wants to introduce you, the team. I said, that's awesome. And LaShawn come walking around the corner. He walked up to me and he just fell into my arms. I'm going to tell you something. He might be black and I might be white. But when you love, you don't see color. And I'm sitting there and I'm holding this kid. And he looks up at me and he goes, I'm introducing you today, Mr. Donnie. I said, I know. He said, I'm the student body president. I said, I heard. I said, man, what's that big medal? What you got there? What is that? He says, that's a badge. He said, man, I'm in charge of security too. I said, man, he's been stealing everything. Now he's in charge of security. We did the assembly. He introduced us, and a reporter from Detroit News was there, and he walked over to me, and he said, can you reach them all? They always say that to me. And I said, no, but if I can reach LaShawn. He goes, what are you saying? I said, go ask LaShawn. And that reporter went over, and he talked to LaShawn. He came back with tears in his eyes. He said, I get it. I tell you what moves me. Just one more. It's not the 7 million students. That's just for the press and to get in some more schools. I don't care about all that. I just want to do one more assembly. Because I know out there in that audience, there's somebody. Stop trying to make yourself to be like other people you admire. Be happy with who you are. You need to settle in the season of your life and enjoy who you are. This is not the season in your life to hate yourself. This is a season to discover yourself. God, help me not to look back at the end of my life and say, if only that would have not happened. If only I'd been born another time. If only. Other people, they live with what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? And we can't change our past and we can't reach out and control our future. Then we become frustrated because we can't do either. And we spend all of our time trying to change our past and control our future. And there's no time for us to live now. There's too much destiny over your life for you to die. There's too much purpose. Be yourself. Alpha, be you. I never thought when I was 13 years old, we moved from Virginia to California on A Street. I walked by that gym and saw those big guys in there lifting weights, and I didn't have a dime. I said, can I lift? And they said, you don't have money to own or be here or be a part. I couldn't own any weights. I couldn't even afford. The guy let me sweep the floor and wipe mirrors down. And once a month on Friday night, they had strength night. And that's where I saw Dave Draper rip the phone book. I saw Mike Dayton break out of handcuffs. That's where I saw the feats of strength. People go, Donnie, did you get that from this guy or that? I saw the feats of strength over 40 years ago. And those guys let me go in there and work out with them. They taught me how to rip a phone book. They taught me how to bend a steel bar. So when I got saved in college, I went back to the weight room and I started working out. And I started reaching out on the college campus with something as silly as feats of strength. I had no idea where it would take me and the doors God's opened. I told the students this morning, I'm sitting in Joe Girardi's office getting ready to speak to the New York Yankees. And I went in his office into the bathroom. I got on my knees and I said, God, what am I doing here? You sure faked him out. I'm not a motivational speaker. I spoke this year to the men's national soccer team. I had no idea. I couldn't hardly spell soccer. I didn't even know what I was doing there. I say to you young people that are here tonight, you college students, find out what you love, find out what bothers you, and listen to what moves you, and you watch what God will do. Would you bow your heads? Father, I thank you that we've laughed tonight, we've cried, and God, I know, Lord, there's some incredible people here tonight. Hey, God, I pray that you would release them just to be themselves. God, that they would not have to any longer worry about what anybody thinks or what they should or shouldn't do or how they should dress or what, God, somebody puts on them. But God, they would not try any longer to be anybody other than who you've called them to be. Because, God, you've made them uniquely who they are. And God, I bind that spirit of self-hatred. I bind that spirit that caused them to despise their own personality or the way they look. And God, I just thank you tonight that you're giving people a rebirth of their self-worth. God, there's somebody in you. And I'm wondering, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's somebody here right now, tonight, that's visiting, and you need to give your life to Christ. You're right now brought by a friend, or maybe you've been coming to church, but you haven't received Jesus Christ in your life. Listen to me. You'll never find your destiny until you meet the God who's determined it. As long as you're at odds with your destiny, you'll never be happy. It's time for you to receive Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he's going to release you to be all that you've been called to be. But it starts there. So I'm wondering if there's one here. I'm not going to stand you up, not going to call you forward, but I want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you say, Donnie, will you include me in that prayer? I'd like to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. Would you just put your hand up? I'll look around the room. I never do a service without giving someone an opportunity. I know this is Chi Alpha. I know this is church. But there could be one out there that God is speaking to. And it's all you got to do is just reach your hand up and say, Donnie, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. Is there anyone like that? I'll look. Just hold it up and put it back down. Let me get under these lights. Now I can see. Anybody? I'll look across the room. My last call is out. I'm going to move on because I didn't see anyone raise their hand. And if you did, it's all you got to do is ask him to come into your heart and receive forgiveness. Now I want to deal with what really this message is meant to be tonight. I know it's hard for some of you to raise your hand when it comes to this area. But I must be honest with you, you really don't like who you are. There's only one problem with when you move. When you get there, you've already arrived. And I'm going to tell you, by the Spirit of God, and I'm speaking right now, by God, and you listen very carefully, because some of you are at a place right now where you need to step out of that self-hatred. You need to begin to embrace who you are. And that's why I said, with the calling of God, you don't decide it, you discover it. And some of you need to stop despising your personality. You need to stop looking outside of yourself and looking at other people and wishing you were more like them. That's a slap in the face of God. God has created you to be you. And you're the only one we have that's like you. And that makes you pretty important stuff. And I don't care what anybody has said. I don't care what Hollywood said. I don't care what every magazine you pick up. And you continually, young lady, see who you're not. And there's a lot of pressure of you having to live up to whatever image that they have presented. And I say to you, young men, you have a heart after God. You don't be afraid to cry. You don't care. Listen to me. Stop living in fear of what somebody's going to think. People's opinion of you can change like the wind. You can change your hair, your walk, your talk, but people are going to think about you whatever they want to think. Some of you tonight, listen to me. Dare to be you. Be yourself. Step out and embrace who God has called you to be. The call of God. The call of God. Would you stand? Come on, everybody, just stand. College students that are here tonight, I want to pray a blessing over you. And so as my sister sings, I know that some of you are going to slip out. I understand that. And there'll probably be a long time before I ever give an invitation to come back because I went so long. But you know what, you guys? In the morning, I just preached at a church of about 15,000. And I said, can I give an altar call? And the pastor said, if you can do it in 35 minutes. So I just preached shorter and gave my altar call. And I try to do that in the mornings. But I just feel like tonight, there's just some healing here. And some of you have laughed at some of my crazy stories. But some of you tonight, secretly inside, down deep in you, you need a rebirth of your self-worth. You need to begin to value you. Listen to me, young lady. When you give that worth, value, and significance to a guy, and you draw that out of him, when he walks out of your life, he takes your value, your significance, and your worth. You'll never find that in a man. That's why my wife doesn't complete me. She compliments me. People say, she completes me. No, she can't complete you, man. Only God can. So when I get my worth, my significance, and my value from God, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. The withdrawal of human love, it can hurt me, but it'll never devastate me. So when someone withdraws their love from me, it hurts, but it's not going to devastate me. Because I don't get my significance, my value, my worth from you. I get it from God. I want you to like me. I hope you do like me. But you know what? There are a lot of people don't like me. But it doesn't mean I'm unlikable. If you really knew me, you'd like me. You'd dig me. Cause I'm really... Some of you egotistical. No, I'm not. I just like being around me. I bust myself up sometimes. I just have a good bust. I don't need anybody. Some of you need to learn to turn your laughter on. Man, I tell you what. You ever have a good bust up where you just get out of control? Isn't that fun? Just like, if you can't do it any other way, when you get in a difficult situation, slip your shoes off and just begin to tickle the bottom of you. Because when you begin to laugh, the devil, he don't know what to do with that. I'm serious. He can't. He's shooting his arrow of depression, and he can't read your mind. He reads your reaction. You start laughing. He's down there playing with the knobs. He don't know what to do. Some of you need to enjoy you. You need to be set free to be you. God, may you embrace this tonight. College students, where you at? Where you at, Chi Alpha? Come here. Come here. Just come here. Come here. We don't even need a big drastic altar call and everything. Just come here. Come here. Come to Papa. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get down here. Get down here. I love you guys so much. I believe in you so much. Golly. Look at you. You got all your stuff and your nose and everything. You look so pretty. Dear God, those crazy pants on. I love those pants. That was really crazy. Huh? Look at you, man, that crazy hat. You look cool. I like it. I like it. I wouldn't wear it, but I like it. It's you, brother. It's you. It's all you, man. I'm not picking for it. I dig it. That's what I love about college students, man. They were like laying on the floor today, and some were sitting with their legs crossed, and others legs behind their head. They just doing all kinds of crazy out here in the lobby. Come on down here, guys. Come on down here. Come on down here. Come on. I want these college students down here. I might do a stage dive. Look at her. That'll... That little girl said, oh God, please. Please. No. Adults, would you stretch forth your hand to these precious ones that are on college campuses all over the state? God. Oh God. God, I just pray. I pray, God, for these students. God, that they would do greater things than I ever thought of doing. That, God, that you would just breathe in them tonight. Lord, as we talked about vision today and tonight, we talked about, God, being ourselves, finding that call. God, tonight, God, show them, God, who they are by what they love. God, by what bothers them, what upsets them, what Holy Ghost ticks them off. God, reveal it to them. And God, what moves them? Let us be moved by your heart. God, your heart for the lost. God, your heart for people. Oh God, grip us tonight as we surrender to you and your purposes. Come on, students, would you just lift your hands as my sister leads us in a praise?
If you can hear.